It has turned the hearts away from Yahweh's true justice. I was thinking the other day as I hear them, as I was listening to some of the excerpts of Judge Alito of the Supreme Court, and how that his constitutionality, and the man is a very fervent constitutionalist, and he understands the Constitution quite well. As I listened to the man articulate, as I listened to his verbiage, I was very impressed with the man. I could sense his staunch and his very his settledness in his spirit. I could sense that in the man, and his ability to articulate and cases that they were asking him about certain things, and he knew about the cases of law and the relevance of them and the precedence of them. And as the Ruach spoke to me, there's only one precedent set, and that is the Torah of Yahweh. It is one that deals with justice and righteousness and truth in every nation. It makes no difference. You don't need a constitution. We need the true bread, and that's it. And they've been turned away from the true constitution. They've gone about to establish their own. They've gone about to establish their own self-righteousness. America's a good nation. She's a wicked nation. She's a foul nation. She's a corrupt Roman tentacle of darkness. She's a dispenser of every kind of evil thing. From AKL. She has all her old people hooked on drugs. A source of great revenue for the rich and the powerful. Source of great revenue for the rich. And the old will spend their last nickel trying to get the drugs to twist their mind away from prayer. From getting on their old wicked knees, crying out to Yahweh. They won't pray, but they will raise every kind of hell when their Medicare and their Medicaid is not sufficient. And the doctors, these sorceries, these powers of sorcery, these priests of idolatry, that's what they are. They're priests of idolatry. They take it from one form of drug to the other. They alter their minds even more and even greater. They cause their minds to be altered. It's nothing but a form of deception. They're not eating the bread of Yahweh, because the bread of Yahweh is precious in the sight of Yahweh, the death of his saints. If we die, we suffer, we lead this life, we're going to reign with it. Shaul says, I am ready now to be offered up. I'm ready to go. Yahshua said, it is finished. It is finished. The works are done. And it alters their mind to try to look unto utopic in a natural way. And that is the mindset of man. You know, something that the only beastly heart that has shown any kind of future hope in transplant into man, you know what it is? It's the heart of a hog. The most foulest, unclean thing upon the face of the earth. When I was listening to that report the other day, I say, my Yahweh, how unclean, how vile, and how corrupt man is. He's worse than the most vilest of every beast, and there is nothing more vile than a hog, not even a buzzard. And that is a vile thing, and yet they have found promising results with the heart of a hog, transplanting it in the heart of man. They have already, brothers and sisters, taken the genes out of humans and transmuted them into rabbits, and they're producing human rabbits. This is the mindset of this foul Roman tentacles. They say, I will exalt myself above the Torah truth of Yahweh. I will become like him. I will establish my own laws and my own constitution. And the hell with what Yahweh says. This is the mindset today. And that's what they feed your children. That's what they feed us. And their altered forms of their bread. Oh, it's making sense to me. It's the truth. Minds are twisted. It's not from Yahweh. It's not. I want to show you something here. Let me read this. I want to show what's going to happen. Hallelujah, Yahweh. This is your hope right here. Let me read this before you go. I go farther. It says in Gilead chapter 12, Revelation 12, 17. This is our strength right here. You that are truly the sons of Yahweh, this is your strength. You're discouraging us, Pastor Robertson. I'm trying to encourage you to set your affection on the things that are above and upon Yahweh. This is your hope. Gilead 12, verse 17. And the dragon, this kingdom, this government, this prophet, this apostle, they have their prophets, don't they? They deceive everyone. These apostles and prophets, they're false, they're deceivers. And this dragon was angry with the true woman, the virtuous one, the one that identified with Yahweh. And he went to make war, look at this now, with the remnant of her seed. Who is the remnant? They keep the mitzvot of Yahweh. I will use this expression, quote,
those that they call the Jews in Israel, they are the seed, the remnant of the seed. But they may keep the mitzvot. But they don't have the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. See, you can't have one without the other. Do you all hear me today, saints? Do you hear what the scripture says? This is the remnant that keep the mitzvot, the Torah of Yahweh. There are many that keep the Torah, but they don't have the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. Do you all hear me? There are many that keep the mitzvot, and they practice them with great sternness. They wear their phylacteries, but where's the testimony? Because he said, I'm the bread, and you must eat this bread here, because this is the life of all the mitzvot. Without this witness, you have no life. In any one of those, you have no life in it. And that's the truth. No life at all. So this is the hope of those that are elected of Yahweh. We keep his mitzvot. We keep everything. We keep his name. We keep his Shabbat. We don't murder. We don't steal. We don't kill. We don't keep Sunday. We don't worship on the pagan Sunday. We don't sit around in our homes on the Shabbat and say we're worshiping Yahweh. No, he said you assemble yourselves together. When you see this time approaching, fail you not to fellowship one with another. He intended for Yisrael to come into the house and the Torah read and for the pastor and the priest to get up and speak on those things that were relevant for that day and for that time. Not you sitting in your little house and watching your lying deception of your television, this mind-altering power of sorcery. Sorcery and idolatry. That's all that television promote is idolatry. Idol worship. Idol. Idleness of mind. Idol worship people. Looking at the stars and the whores. I was reading this morning. I showed Sister Robinson the Observer in the living section. This woman, she played on one of the soap operas. All My Children on one of them. And she was talking about her life. She has a ministry, what she called it. It's just such an abomination in Concords, North Carolina. That her and her mother was sleeping with the very same man at the very same time. That's what this seduction does to one's mind. Because they played those roles on Ryan Hope and as the world turned and as the children lied. And they were doing the very same thing in the reality of life. Three husbands and nothing works. And these are the kinds of spirits and the idolatry they impart into the minds of your children. And that's why their minds are twisted and they're taken by these powers of hell. Why? Because they're eating the bread that is not the bread that came down from the Shemayim. If the bread doesn't come from Yahweh, then spit it out. And don't eat it. So this is the hope of the people of Yahweh, that we have the mitzvot of Yahweh. We have the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. He said that he was sent. Did he say that? Did he not say he came in his Abba's name? So how can it be Jesus? That's a hellish lying name. Oh, that may have been the path to bring us to this revelation truth. So was the donkey unto Balaam. And that was a jackass, a plain old jackass. But it brought him to the presence of Yahweh, didn't it? Nothing but a beast out of the field. Nothing but old donkey or jackass, but it still brought him to the truth. And when his eyes was open, he said, that is the truth. He saw what Yahweh kept him from. And so when Yahweh opened your eyes, although that may have been a mechanism, and that may have been a tool, but yet when he opens your eyes, you don't reject the truth. So he was a flat-out jackass. They say to baby, you can't curse the house of Israel. As a matter of fact, because you did that, I'm going to bless them.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Scripture says, look at this quick. In Yochanan, 1 Yochanan, chapter 5. Now we must have security. Yahweh must give us security and comfort in this hour. And he speaks to us here, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. So profound. So profound. This is strength for your navel. This is your health right here. This is your shalom. He says in Yochanan, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. He says this emphatically. We know that whosoever is born of Yahweh. Now we're born of Yahweh, sins not. He doesn't practice sin. What is that? He doesn't practice breaking the Torah. What if I practice breaking the Torah? He's not born of Yahweh. When he doesn't use the name of Yahweh, when he doesn't use his personal name, he is sinning. Because you're breaking the Torah, you're breaking the mitzvot of Yahweh. You cannot take his name in vain. You cannot say it's empty. So we know that whoever is born of Yahweh sins not, but he that is begotten of Yahweh, he keeps or he guards himself. When you are truly gotten of Yahweh, you will guard yourself. You will guard yourself from the evil one, from the things of the world, will you not? And look at our profound security here. And the wicked one touches him, what? He cannot touch him. When there are wicked things touching your mind and wicked thoughts, you're not doing this. That's just the truth, brothers and sisters. We're not doing this when there are thoughts that are so vile and so corrupt. And the bread that we're eating, that we have a great satisfaction in those thoughts.
He said, the wicked one touches him not. He cannot deceive his mind. Why? And we know that we are of Yahweh and some of the world. And what? The whole world is it not? Did not Yahweh say that the whole world was deceived? He deceives the whole world? And does the whole world lies in wickedness? And who are those that are not lying in that wickedness? Those that have the mitzvot of Yahweh and the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. You can have the testimony of Yahshua without the mitzvot. You lie in wickedness. You can have the mitzvot and not the testimony. You lie in wickedness. That's the bottom line. And the whole world, not some of the world, but the whole world lies in wickedness. And we that do not practice a disobedience unto Yahweh, that we will not disobey Yahweh. Hear me, saints, please. Then we are not lying in the wickedness of the world. When one practices disobeying the Torah, when one defies the Torah, when one rejects the Torah, when one says that it is not valid for today, when one says that Yahshua is not the completion and the fulfillment of the Torah, they lie in wickedness. And the whole world lies in wickedness. And our strength of assurance that we're not lying with you, we have a lively hope in us. And that lively hope is the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. And it keeps alive that which Yahweh has written in our heart, which He has written in our inward part. And that is His Torah truth, that is His covenant with His people. And even though in the greatest despondence and despair, we have a lively hope that draws from the living word that is in us, and it makes us come alive. That's what it does. He's only speaking to His house, saints. He doesn't want anyone to hear. He said, you see me and you still don't believe. You hear what I say, you still don't believe me. What I'm letting you know, you're not Yahweh's anyway. He said, I will not lose one. The only one I lost, I didn't lose him because he was the son of perdition. He said, I'm not going to lose the one because I have meat to eat, bread, because I am that bread. And that meat that I eat is the strength of the source of this bread's life. And that is the will of Yahweh. That's our strength and nothing else. He says in verse 20, and we know that the Son of Yahweh has come. Yahshua has come. And has given us what? He has given us binah, understanding. That we may know who? Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His, is that what it says? Even in His Son. Even in His Son. Even in His Son, Yahshua HaMashiach, He is the Yahweh truth of eternal life. And that's what Yahshua is. He is the truth of Yahweh for our eternal life. He wants us to know Him, saints. And you're not going to know Him outside of His power to govern you and to instruct your heart and to instruct you in this life. He must instruct us. We, on our own courses, we always do things that are so wrong. I can testify to that of no other man. My life has been a hellish spiral spin into every kind of dark conclave there is. And so has yours. The only light we can get and the only course that brings us to a course or a way that is plain and clear and there is no darkness on it is the way of truth. And without the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach, you will never find the path of truth. You may know the mitzvot, you may know the Torah, you may have Torah bites, but without the witness of that testimony means nothing. It has no power. It has no power at all. You need that witness for it in order for it to be activated. There are certain chemical compounds you got to put part A with part B in order for it to become activated. That's like a nuclear bomb. You got to put in certain, you got to be a certain reaction in order for the nuclear or the fusion of the nucleus to become like a fire, invisible fire. So you can't. It's no good with just without just one part. You got to have both parts. So the Torah is no good without HaMashiach. HaMashiach is no good without the Torah. That's the truth, saints. Help me, Yahweh. That's the truth. That's the truth. And we need the mitzvot. And we need the testimony of Yahshua. And the breaths that are coming down from these earthly heavens. They're not the bread that come from the Shemayim. They're not coming from the heavens of Yahweh. They're not coming from the third heavens. They're coming from the sensual application of men. They're practicing their religious idolatry and they're establishing their own laws and rituals that are not of Yahweh. It is not of Yahweh. It is not of Yahweh. This is the generation. And we're in it. And Shaul talks about it. The generation that is so deceived. But the generation is deceived, a people deceived. You know one thing is sure. I will show you. Turn quickly to 2 Timothy, yes, Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 33. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound disciplines, doctrines, but after their own lust." It's not someone else's lust. It's not my lust that draws you. It's not my lust that calls you to sin. He said, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, bread feeders, having itching ears. Verse 34. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned on to fables. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Yahweh's word in Tehillim tells us that we know that Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting. Is He not from everlasting to everlasting? And His Torah, His word, is the truth. This is a generation that has turned its ear away from the truth. And they have gone after fables, bread that is not the bread of life. You understand what a fable is? It's not one thing that feeds you more fables than anything. Does not the television feed you more fables than anything? It feeds you fictitious dramas and stories that are based upon lies and based upon lust and corruption. The love boat. Sinfield. You know, these corrupt things, idols. And it teaches us fables, false illusions. Yes, that's what it does. It replaces the mind of Yahweh. And it turns the man's mind away from Yahweh. The television turns your time away from Yahweh to things that are full of fables and false. It turns your heart away from truth to things that are just based upon unrealistic truths. It is a dynamic power of hell. When that thing was invented in 1929, it gained its pinnacle of power in the late 40s. And about 1955, it was entrenched. And when that thing opened its tentacles to the Roman pantheon of gods, that's all it does. It opened up your mind to the pantheon of gods. And so you had them in the stars like, I don't know their names, like the Jolie, whatever her name is. You all have heard of the Jezebel, whatever name. She's a bulldagger and she's already pregnant by some man. And this is the pantheon of gods that opened the minds of the children to. And they pursue the same thing as these vile, irresponsible Jezebels and perverts and homosexual men of darkness. That's what they do. It is the pantheon. It is the Pandora's box to the pantheon of gods. So it opened up their minds to every kind of god worship or the pantheons of gods. That's why every house has 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 in every bedroom. It is the Pandora's box. It is the avenue. It is the window unto the Roman power of god worship and the strength of deception, which will be the power and the tool that Satan used. The false beast, the false prophet, will perform miracles so great that it will deceive everyone that has the mark of the beast. Scripture says that. Deceives everyone that has the mark of the beast. And everyone that has the mark of the beast, you can see it in their nature, is beastly. There's no love for Yahweh. There's no heart for truth. There's no desire for Yahweh. A generation, they shall turn away their ears from hearing the truth, and they shall be turned to fables. It's no Torah reading in the homes today in the world. very little among those that say they're true believers. Hear me. And so when you turn your ear away from hearing the truth, the reading of the Torah, the witness of the Torah, because that's what HaMashiach is. He's the witness of the true Torah. He's the witness of the vitality and the reality of the Torah. And so what the homes have, they have turned their ears away from hearing Torah reading. Even my grandmother, and even those in the 40s and 50s, and even in the 60s, even in their ignorance, they will crack the book and they will read. And they will sit down with us and read. Even though they didn't know what they were saying, they could not explain things, but they would read. We did not have a television. And so we would read those things in here. So what they have done, they have turned the minds away from hearing Torah truth and reading of scripture onto fables whereby they want to see 50 cents. Or Lohan, or Jenny Lopez, or some of the rapper, or Jazzy Z, and those kinds of things. They've turned their minds away from hearing things that bring strength, stability in their lives unto fables. And things that are built and based upon things that are so false without any reality because their lives are not based upon reality. So they're giving our young generation, this generation that as they have not known Yahweh, they have turned their ears away. Do you not know every time that Israel would turn their heart away from Yahweh, that He will send in the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Melchites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, He will give them into their hands. One time He put them into their hands for 5 years. Next time He put them into their hands for 18 years. And they rule over them and they oppress them until they cry out unto Yahweh. And then when they will cry out, Yahweh will raise up a judge in the midst. He'll raise up a judge that will judge them and show them their wickedness, show them their sins, show them, and then they began to eat the bread. And after that, they will go right back, they will build the groves of Balaam, they will have their lords. That's what we got, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord is good, and the Lord is God. How in hell is that? The doctrine comes from hell. It is not of Yahweh. And that is the truth. The whole world was deceived. We were in Christianity, we were deceived. I don't care what you say, just like everyone else. I can see if he said he deceived some of the world. But the whole world deceived. Deceives the whole world. You can try to translate that any way you want to. But that's what it says. I believe it. And the whole world was deceived. And he gives us a witness. Shaul gives us a witness that the whole world lies in wickedness. Not some, but the whole world lies in wickedness. And we, you know what wickedness is? Do you understand the strength of wickedness? When you deny the Torah, when you deny the infallibility of Yahweh and His power. That's wickedness. When you come to knowledge of the truth and you say, I don't believe that. I won't receive that. I'll just wait on that one. I won't acknowledge that. That's just wickedness. It's the great defiance of Yahweh. And this is a generation that blatantly defy Him. Blatantly defy Him, and they will not adhere to what He commands them. That's this generation. That's who we are. We defy Him. And so that's what a wicked man is. He said, you warn the righteous, and you warn the wicked, right? You warn the righteous that if he turns from his righteous ways, his righteousness will not be remembered. You warn the wicked. Now, who was he talking to? Was he talking to the Hittites, the Jebusites? Was he talking to Israel? Who's he talking to? Israel. Were they his seed? Were they the remnant of Yahweh? Was he talking to Israel? So he's talking to a people that had turned their backs and their hearts. And we see the example in Scripture. When they were turned away, he will send great fire upon them. And their hearts will be turned back. Why? Because it is the sign of his true judgment. Be not deceived. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. So he tells us, don't be deceived. Yahweh's not mocked. See, what this bread today is deceiving us. Oh, my daughter, I know she don't go the way I go. I know my son is different, but they love the Lord. I believe that. I have no problem with that. Hallelujah, Yahweh. He established one way, didn't he? There's one way. One emunah. One emerging, one baptism. One faith, one baptism. One almighty creator, just one. And we can't get one in the Baptist way, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the black, the white, the Jewish, the Canadian way, the canon, the way of the Canadians, or those in Canada, or the African way. It's only one way. It's only one truth. He did not say truths, but truth. His Torah is the truth. Yahshua said, I am the truth. And he was the life. Why? Because he's the bosom, revelation of Yahweh. He's the heart of Yahweh revealed. It's just like this mighty creator say, you're nothing but a piece of dirt. That's what we are, from clay. He said, I'll show you how much I care for you, how I love you. I'm just going to reveal my whole heart to you. Now, you just don't reveal all your secrets to anyone, do you? Come on, you got to trust someone to do that. You don't go tell everything. I love my wife and I trust her, but I don't reveal everything. That's just the truth. What I'm saying, you think I'm going to tell her some things? No, sir. I leave them things to be. There are things that have happened I don't want nobody to know. You understand? And I believe you got something like that, too. Well, I'm not telling nobody that. That's just the bottom line. You understand what Yahweh said? Look, I will show you how much integrity I got. It's wonderful when we see how much here we're going to be like him. So all those things are passed away. He said, I want to show you how much, what's in me. He said, I want to show you now. I want to just show you what I am. I'm going to reveal everything, my whole heart. That's what he did. That's what this living word is. It's just the heart of Yahweh is alive. He made it alive in flesh to show us that it can be alive. So he said, I'm going to pour my whole heart. Here it is. See? Nothing here. No strings to pull. No back doors. You must come in just one way, one door. It's so bright and so full of light, you can't miss it. Just one piece of bread. There's only one meat. No steak meat. No bullfrog or no cow's meat. No, just one meat. That's only one meat. That's all I give you. Bread and meat. And you got water. Man can make it off of that. Sure he can. Bread and meat, you can make it off of that. Strength will be sustained. Not a baby, but you will sustain your strength. And so that's what Yahweh did. That's what HaMashiach is. He is that living hope of Yahweh just revealed unto us. That's how much he loved us. And he did that because he loved man. He said, what is man? It's something about man that he wanted man to understand. That's why he used the man. That's why Yahshua the man. He is the man. That's just the truth. And Shaltan is doing everything he can with the woman. And that is a religious organizational structure with this Roman whore to bring down the strength of man. Nobody's right. You're wrong. You just said that wrong. It's not like that. It's not written like that in Scripture. That's what they do. And that's the truth, saints. I'm not going to finish this today, but I want to close because my body's hurting. But I pray that Yahweh is blessing you. Yeah. Hear this, all right? The generation that will not turn to Yahweh will not hear what he says. I want to show you something in Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 59. This is his people here. The whole world. And Shaltan has deceived the whole world. And when the world is deceived, when we are deceived, when you are deceived, you turn away your heart from hearing the truth. You become very adamant. You become angry. You become very staunch in your ways. I will not hear it. And your ear becomes so hardened, it cannot perceive it. It cannot understand. And it will not be opened up to it. Now look at this now. Look at what he always says in Yeshaya, chapter 59, verse 12. And this is his people, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, our unwillingness to obey Torah truth. So our transgressions have multiplied unto Yahweh, unto you, and our sins testify against us. Brother and sister, friend and foe, it is your own sin that testify against you. He said, your sin testify against you. My sins, your unwillingness, your disobedience, your sins. But we are people that we want to blame everyone else. Where you caused me to do it. No, brother, sister. It is your own sins that testify against you. It is not my sin, because my sins will testify against me. Your own sins testify against us, you. For our transgressions are with us. Your transgressions are with you. He tells you to cleanse your hands. We're sinners. We sin willfully. He said, cleanse your hands, all ye sinners. Purify your heart, your mind, you double-minded ones. He said, our transgressions are with us. And as for our or my iniquities, I know them. You know them. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know your iniquities. You know your secret sins and the secrets sins of your heart. I know them. See, I know them. Look at this in verse 13. Yeshaya, Isaiah 59, 13. In transgressing and lying against Yahweh. Do we think we would ever do that? Now, this is the deception of hell. Hear me say, this is how Shaitan has deceived the world. We transgress and we lie against him. And lying against Yahweh. And this is the key right here. And departing, that's turning our heart away. Removing our thoughts away from him. Removing our minds. Turning away from
from our Abba. We turn away from Him. Speaking oppression. Now that is what all the Christendom preach. Oppression. You understand that? They preach oppression. They preach a gain by extortion. They extort the people. In the true Aramaic expression, it is a gain by extortion. That's what oppression is. And they declare or they speak in oppression and revolt. We see that in this generation. An apostate mindset. A defection. People defect. Well, you said that. So you know what defection is? They turn cold. They turn away. So when one defects from the army of Yahweh, they turn away. And what do? They turn back to the weak and beggary elements of the world. Did they find solace in the world? I don't care what you say, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you, you that listen to my live stream, wherever this message may go, I don't care who it is, your son, your daughters, your children, your grandchildren, your grandmother, your kinsmen, they're not going into the kingdom but one way. And how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? They're not going in but one way. Your cousins, your relatives, they're not going into the kingdom. They speak revolt against Yahweh. Apostate. They reject Him. They're controlled by the Roman tentacles. They're controlled by the deceptions of Shatan. They eat the bread of darkness. They don't eat the bread of life. There's a revolutionary change in one's life when they begin to eat this bread. This bread is filled with the Ruach of Yahweh, with the seven Ruach, the seven spirits of Yahweh. Who on each that, then he had the power of Yahweh. He said they revolt, conceiving and uttering from the lev, from their heart, words of falsehood, words of deception, words of self-deceived prophets. They prophesy to themselves. God said, if I do this, He's going to do that. God said, they speak deceit, false words, deception. Now this is the bread that they're eating. Now this is not shot on the daddy of all lies. So they speak lies. Yahweh said that He, in His people, He would write His Torah, His truth in their lives. And so we cannot lie. If a man just utterly lies, we know that if a man be a worshiper of Yahweh, him is prayer, he will hear. A liar, his prayer is an abomination to Yahweh. A liar hates every soul that is afflicted by it. So when a man lies against Yahweh, he hates him. And that's why they turn against Yahweh. That's why they turn away from Him. They speak falsehood. Look at this in verse 14. And in Mishpatim, in judgment, is turn away. There's no judgment. It's turn away backwards. And justice stand afar off from the truth. For the truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Verse 15, yes, truth fails. And he that departs from evil, make himself a prey. And Yahweh saw it. And it displeased Him that there was no true judgment in the house. No whatsoever. So when a man departs from Yahweh's way, when he turns his heart away from judgment, we are a people that grossly detest judgment. We detest any form of judgment. We don't want no one to judge our intentions, our motive, our actions, our deeds. We grossly hate that. We don't want that. And because we've eaten such false bread, and the bread has not been, it has been sweet because it gives us leverage to do what we want to do, but not the bread of Yahweh. It is a cleansing bread. It is a bread that goes down. You don't have to worry about any laxatives. It cleanses you. You don't have to worry about eating anything green because it brings everything out of you. It brings the dross to the top. You can see the filth. You can see the stench, your hand. You can smell it. You will know that it's coming from you. You don't have to worry about where the stench is coming from. It's coming from you. Have you ever smelled something, you wonder what it was, and all of a sudden you realize it was your feet or your underarm or some socks you have taken off? Now, it may be a little different with a woman than man, with a man, but a man, I mean, that has happened to me. And I'm smelling this, wondering where it's coming from, and actually it's me. Is that you? Yeah, that's you. What? Your feet? The other day, I believe I was smelling something. I say, what is that? Of course, I'm sitting there at my desk, and I smell this stuff, and what is that? Something here?
I'm not a person that wear tennis shoes, and I've never been a person to wear tennis shoes. So when I put them on my feet, tennis shoes do something to my feet. I don't wear tennis shoes. I don't like them. No more than to do something sporting activity. But to wear tennis shoes as a dress shoe or a casual shoe, I just don't like doing that. I'd rather have a pair of shoes on. I'm not a tennis shoe man. You understand? And so what had happened, I had worn these tennis shoes when I went down to Pastor Hunter's, and I had on the same socks for 3 days. No big deal. I had the same socks on for 3 days. And so what happened, I had taken the tennis shoes off under my desk, and I'm smelling this smell, and I'm wondering what it is. And then when I looked down there, and as Granny was saying, I reached down, and I picked up a pair of the tennis shoes, I smelled, I said, whoa, that's what it is. It was the tennis shoe. It was a stench that had built up in the tennis shoe. It was the sweating, the perspiration. Same socks 3 days. I picked the sock up, smelled it, didn't smell bad, so I put it back on. Yeah, I do that. You made it do, but I do that. All right. It's all right. So the sock did not smell, so there was no smell to it, so I put it back on. And all of a sudden, I'm smelling this. And what is this? See, that's what it is. So Yahweh, He pulls up the drawers. He pulls up every vile odor. He shows us the stench. Why? Because He wants a sweet-smelling savor. The world is deceived today. The whole world. It lies in wickedness. It is a world of iniquitous practices. Everything it does. Yahweh says He doesn't want His people to act that way. I want to close with this last verse here. Scripture says in Gilead, now listen, Revelation 19:20. It says, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that worked miracles before him. Now, I know that all preachers today, they saw Messiah perform miracles, but they were not impressed. And so this false prophet, or the spirit of this prophet today, just like the spirit of the Ruah of Elijah, shall come. I believe that. And those will be, and they will be fortified with great strength. I'm going to preach on that soon. I've been intending to preach on it. I've even started the message, but there's so many other things I want to touch on. But I want to show you the spirit of Elijah, of the true prophets that shall come, and scripture will identify them because what they will perform, they are the only men that ever performed it. You understand? This Elijah and the Moshe power will come upon the earth and these prophets, and those are the only two men can do what they will do in Jerusalem during that period of time, because it is a witness in scripture that they have done that. You understand that? And I intend to touch on that one day soon, all right? To show you the emphasis and the power of that, because it is a profound truth, saints. And so it is with the powers of darkness. Shaitan established his ministers. They are perceived as ministers of light and righteousness, but they have a deception. And they perform miracles. It said, and he performed miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast. When a man reject the name of Yahweh and his son Hamashiach, he has received this mark of this beast government, this beast power. And so their men today say they're doing miracles and they're performing, they're casting out devils and all of that. They're not doing anything. You understand me? And may not be deceived. They're not eating the true bread, because you cannot keep the, you cannot say you have the mitzvahs and the Torah of Yahweh and the witness of Moshiach and not have the mitzvahs. You must have them both, because it's the life of our strength. You understand? We must have that. And he did miracle to deceive those that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, because they would not receive the love of the truth. Because they would not receive the love of the truth. And that is the true bread. Yahshua Messiah is the true bread of Yahweh's Torah. He is the life. He is the strength. He is the staple of Torah revelation. I'm going to stop there. But I want to pick this up on Wednesday night. And I will begin with this phrase, that this is your way. And this is not the bread of darkness, what he speaks to us. But his truth is the everlasting bread. May Yahweh bless you. May give you strength. May cause your heart to burn alive today. And that his word will be a fervent fire that will parch. And that he may bless you. Do pray for me that Yahweh open my understanding. And my heart will love to search his truth. And I do search his truth. How many we have, brother? Okay, good. Bless you all that are listening on the live stream. We bless you all today. But that my heart will desire His truth and to know His truth. And I don't know about you, but I can't go without seeing what He is saying daily and all during the day. It's something that burns in my inward parts that I need to hear from Him. Because He is my Abba, He is my Father. And I want to hear what He's saying. Hallelujah. You know, I don't like to read what other preachers say because, there are many times I see things in there that are just wrong. But there are a lot of things. I see a lot of things that are very beautiful. Really. And I don't read, I don't listen to hardly any preachers, really. I really don't. It's not that I don't like listening to them. I just don't. When I listen to Pastor Brown, is when he preaches here or there. I just don't listen to his messages no more than I do anyone else. I'm not saying that to be crude or nothing like that because I'm not above anyone. I'm just simply saying I just don't listen to a lot of them. And I just wait on Yahweh what He gives me to teach and to speak to His house. I want to speak it emphatically. I don't want to be persuaded by no one. I want to be persuaded by Him. You understand? There's nothing wrong with what another brother speak or say. But what I'm saying, that's not how it comes to me. It's just by reading the scripture and searching them out. And I can read one, five or six verses, and then on those five or six, believe me, there are 25 messages in one verse. And I find it that way. Hallelujah. Why? It's not, I want you to listen to the other brothers. What I'm saying, I just don't do that. I don't search listening for preachers. When I'm riding alone somewhere, I may search the dial, but it's not what these men are saying. There's no inspiration in what they're saying. You can't find nothing of truth. Ain't nothing on the radio dials. Nothing but a bunch of hogwash and trash. You can't find nothing in those strength. I know I can't find it. I can't. I was telling Deacon Bennett, just bless my heart when I hear from someone like that to say, Pastor Robert, this is what I need. This is what I need. You got pseudo men like R.G. Stan, all these, no different than Kenny Copeland and all that. That doesn't mean nothing because he's on every radio station throughout the world. He can broadcast in every nation. Scripture says that he deceived the whole world. Every nation was deceived. That doesn't mean anything. The man preaches the doctrine of deception. He's a flat-out liar. Man that committed adultery with a woman, he hated his own soul. And that settles it with me. Man like that, I can't trust a man like that. Not as my leader. No, sir. I won't do it. Mm-mm. What David did in hell came out on David's house too. Death and everything. He didn't get by what he did. We think, well, I'm sorry. Lord God, just forgive me. No, that's a bunch of bull. That ain't even bull dung. I'd rather have a big pile of bull plopping than to have that mess. Scripture doesn't teach that. Man sows something, he's going to reap it. He's a pervert of a liar. Okay, what do you say? Period. 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 You pay for your sins. I'll show you that on Wednesday. As this bread of the enemy that deceives the world, that many are eating it because they don't love the bread of Yahweh. And His bread is filled with justice. I'm telling you, eat this bread, is full of judgment. And judge, when you take it down, it lets you know what's in you. That's just like taking a good colon cleanser. It lets you know what you've had to eat, doesn't it? Yes, sir. It cleans everything. It goes to the colon. See, it gets down. It gets to a part that just the natural process don't get to because of what we eat. We got all stuff that sticks back there and sticks to the wall. That's why they get colon cancer because it breeds all kinds of bacteria and diseases and cause you to get cancer. You see, it's all a process of manipulation. That's why the chain markets, isn't it something that Walmart, they feed you and heal you to? You can go there and get some bread and eat, and it makes you sick to your colon, and it makes you, it breaks you down, and then they go right to the drug counter, and you get you some Formakial, and they heal you up a little bit. They don't want to heal you now. They just keep you alive. They just want to keep you alive. That's what doctors do. They want to keep you alive because as long as you're alive, there's money to be made. It's a repeat customer. That's what they want. You buy a car from a car dealership, don't they want you to come back and get the oil changed and all that there, don't they? And then when you come and get the oil changed, they say, I tell you someday, something's wrong. I tell you what, if you don't get that, you don't do that, then you're going to, your engine is going out, so the engine guard is going to cost you $8,000, but we can fix everything right now for $2,000. 6 months later, you go back, I got another problem for you. You see this? Come here. That's what they want you to keep the car. They make more money if you keep in the car than you getting the new one. They make the money if you keep in the car. They want you to keep it. especially coming back to them, $27, $28, $30 an hour. They don't mind working on you for that. So that's what the doctors do. $600, $700 an hour, they don't mind that. That's about what they make, some of them. The doctors, they make $3, $4 million a year, $10, $12 million, $25 million. Not a lot of them, but there's some that do. A little doctor in a town like this is not going to make that kind of money. You understand? He's either here because he wasn't the most prominent student, and he'd rather have a small market whereby it's not going to be much pressure on him. That's why he's here. A lawyer, the same thing. Because if he was a prominent doctor, lawyer, he would be in New York or San Francisco, Chicago, Atlanta, where he's making whole buku monies, all right? So they come to a town like this because they want the most prominent. They want the best students, all right? They made it, you understand, but they didn't get the kind of remarks in their internship or their practice that someone that was going to be, the right journals and be publishing the medical journals and things like that. A little doctor from me, he's not going to be publishing that, you understand? There's someone at John Hopkins, that's a different thing. Someone at Duke University, that's a different thing. So he comes to a little town like this. Same thing with a lawyer. A little lawyer in this town, believe me, he's not going to be. He may run for a judge in a little town like this, a little county like this, and he's a roving judge, but he's not going to become a judge in New York City unless he went to the Harvard or the Yale or the Princeton, or the St. Louis School of Law, you know, some powerful institution, you understand? So they come to a place like this. So the doctors as well. Come on, Brother Pat. That's where they come to a place like this. You understand? Because they do not have the skills as others, or the fortitude or the ability to deal with harsh and tough situations. So they come to a little town like this. They can make it better here. Not that much pressure. They can make enough money to live. Cost of living is not as bad as it is in New York City, because you go to New York City, it will cost you for a 1,000-square-foot shack. I'm talking about going to Harlem, too. Anywhere. It costs you right at $1 million. That's what it costs. And people are still, don't you know they got minimum wages in New York, too? People live in rat holes up there in these cities. Yes, sir, they got a federal minimum wages, and most people make that. A lot of them. Minimum wages. And so that's why they love the illegals coming in from the islands. That's all those islands, they love New York. Because they will live together, and the Mexicans, they love to come here. They can pay the minimum or below minimum wages here. That's what they can do. And they get rich. That's why it's so even in this land. Because the wages are kept back by the owner to their own hurt. And not only do they hurt themselves, they hurt everything when they do that. It's evil. It's sadistic. Something is wrong, sister. What we were making 20, 25 years ago, people, they're not even making that today. You know the time this twist. The cost of living has gone up. Gallon of gasoline wasn't that much. You could get gasoline back then for the 90 cents. Sure you could. 80 cents. 76 cents. And you tell me they're making less than what we made? Something is wrong. It's not right. The world's starving. I hear from these brothers, these pastors, they write me from Kenya. I can't help all those brothers. One would tell someone that he got $50 or $100 and everybody wanting. And they got such sad stories, and I know they tell the truth. I know what's taking place over there. I know the condition of that country. They're dying. They haven't had rain in so long, there's no water. Believe me, you can't ride and see a creek over there like you. A piece of land with a creek like this over there, my. What they do in America, I was reading the other day that, you know, these farmers, let me say this before I close, they're making these fraudulent claims. See, when you are a mega farmer, like someone like the Cox, when you all go to Walmart, you see that piece of land on the right there, when all that farmland, when you go up the hill up there? Well, those men that own that, they're called the Cox. It's a family of three of them boys. Now, they farm about, probably now, when we came in, they were farming 30,000 acres. You understand? They probably farm about 50, 60, 75,000 acres of land. You understand? They have staff. They have earth-moving equipment. They have everything you can imagine. As a matter of fact, Eddie was telling me one day that one of them said that their children are in debt. They're in that kind of debt. So they don't use their monies. I've seen one of the boys' houses out there by the Longs. I thought it was a basketball player's house. That huge monstrosity of a thing. They're farmers now. And so what the farmers do, what they have the government insures the farmers. They make sure, because what they say, don't grow with so many soybeans. And so what the farmers do, they don't grow that because they don't want to flood the market. It's called farm subsidies. They don't want too many soybeans on the market because they get too many, make the soybean market go down. So they control the market, the government. And so these farmers, what they do, they say, well, we lost 20,000 acres of soybeans. And what they do, they do falsified reports, and they had a scheme with the federal insurers. They will come out because they were buddies and say, all right, we'll write it up. Well, he gets $7 to $8 million. He kicks him back $400,000 or $500,000, and he hasn't put nothing in the land. Do you understand? He hasn't sown one soybean. And that's what they were doing. And so the government says, now we got it. Let me show you this world, saints. They're so slick now that say every 8 days they got satellites. Everything we do, they see it. I don't care what it is. There is not a piece of farmland in America that they don't know what they're doing. They see everything. And every 8 days they get pictures. So you say you planted soybeans, that they can tell what you got there. They can tell exactly what you got. They can tell you how old it is. And so one of the, it was a lawyer from, I think from the University of New Mexico, he said, well, this is only there to keep the honest people honest. And that's what he said. Do you hear that? They put it there to keep the honest people honest. They know what we are. They know where you are. They know everything about you. I don't care what you're trying to hide. They know. They know. Believe me. They know. You tell me they can see that. They can tell what you're eating. Sure they can. They know everything about you. You're not going to hide. So when it comes that time when they need you, they can find you. Oh, I believe if they want to miss the Zakawi or Bin Laden, they can pull him out today. They don't want that. It's just like you remember some of those suspense stories we used to have? What was that one with the Richard Kimball? He was always looking for the one-armed man that killed his wife. Who remember that? Fugitive. Whoever watched that, I watched that. You want it? That's an old timer there. You watched The Fugitive? But Kevin, you're too young for that. You watch reruns. Back in our days, we watched The Fugitive. Huh? He was searching for a man to kill his wife. He was a doctor, and he was on the run. And that show ran for years and years. And it was only one suspense there. When would he find this one-armed man to kill his wife? He'd come close one time. He would come close. And you would just sit there anxious. Richard Kim would get him. He would get away every time. And every time, he was a Samaritan of a man. Always doing good works. And all of a sudden, every so they would find out who he was. Somebody. This Kimball. And almost every episode, he's going to get caught. And he was slicker than a bait in your hand trying to put it on the hook. He would always slip away. And you were like, whew, glad of that. You didn't want him to get caught. Because you wanted to catch the one-armed man. And I'm saying that's what they do. They keep things in suspense. That's what they do with us. Keep us in suspense. This is the wicked world. Don't think it's ran by you with your electorate. Your vote is ran by a few rich men. The oligarch in Russia, they run the whole thing. Men like the Offenheimers, these powerfully rich people, they run the world. They got so much wealth. They got so much power. They spit on people like us, kill them. They use men to bid their bidding. They destroy nations. They control the economy of the world. They control the stability of currency and money. Whatever they set it to be, that's what it is. Has nothing to do with us. You think about that. One corporation is going to own almost 10% of all the wealth in America. I don't think you all understand that. A family of two sons, a daughter, and a wife. The old man left that. They're going to control that. Do you all understand that, saints? Four people. Four people. Can we comprehend that? Call themselves the Martins, Walmart, the Waldens. They're going to own all that. Every dollar they own, 10 cents out of that. That's profound there. I don't even know how to think about that one. That's something. Bill Gates owns more than 34% of the Americans on the lower end. I can't even imagine that. 34% of the population don't own as much as one man owns. Do you understand that? You know, close to 70-some million people, he owned more than 70 million people. That's profound. May Yahweh bless you. Come on, Brother Pat. Let's stand to our feet. You that are listening, come on and sing with us.
The sweetness has caused us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brother, beloved, that is real, so that there be love shared among us, let there be love.
Come on, grab your neighbor's hand and sing.
So let there be love shared among us, let there be love in our lives. May now your love sweep us out, cause us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real, so that there be love shared among us, let there be.
Come on, look to your neighbor and bless them, come on.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our lives.
Look like your daddy.
May now your love
got freckles like a
sweetness house, cause us, Yahweh, to arise.
If he was alive, he would bless you.
A fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real, so let there be love shared among us, let there be love.
Come on, one more time, every heart.
So let there be love shared among us, let there be love in our lives. May now your love sweep this house, cause us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brother, love that is real, so let there be love shared among us, let there be love.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, for we bless you this day, Abba, for your mercies and kindness have filled this house, and your tenderness toward us all, nothing can supplant that. We do pray for those that have listened today, the hearers of this word, that you bless them mightily and strengthen them. We pray that you bless this house, all those that are gathered in the tabernacle. We thank you for your mercy and kindness today, Yahweh. And as we consider all that you have done, I consider the multitude of the world, so many are poor and starving, Yahweh. Help me, help us not to take anything for granted. To thank you for all of our fortunes, to have bread, to have water, to have someone to lay our heads, Yahweh. To have a place to live, a place of some shalom away from the world, that our children can grow and mature in the true way, Yahweh. I bless you for that. I pray for those that are in deep despair, in deep poverty, Yahweh. There's enough for all of them, Yahweh.
with the greed of man and his insensitivity. He has no concern. I can't feed them all your way, but I can speak a word of health to the soul of that one that is in great despair, dying. No food, no bread, but yet we give them the living bread. Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb, the hope of Israel. So bless them, I pray. Give us that pure conscience, that mind, that desire to love you and to bless you. So we ask all things in the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb, the hope of Israel. We bless you and we thank you. Bless us as we go home and as we rest on this Shabbat. We thank you for all things in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. And all the saints said, hallelujah, Yahweh. Bless you all.